I think that scientists and technologists who come from a posture of curiosity and deep exploration with no hidden agenda, that are saying, I just want to know the truth, that the person who is truth will reveal himself to them through this discovery.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in from all around the nations of the earth to this week's what's going to be really an exceptional, very empowering episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright. And my special guest joining me for today's conversation is the CEO of Bethel School of Technology in Redding, California. He is the founder of Bethel College, which is really all about raising reformers in a very powerful way. And then he is the author of such a seriously important book for our time, really bringing to us understanding of what's actually going on in the world, what time we're living in, and to have help us have divine perspective regarding what's going on. The book is called The God of Tech, and I really recommend that you grab it and you read it if you haven't already, because I've been devouring it. And it's just the most impacting, informative content. So it is my joy, and we're going to go deeper into the content today. It's my joy to welcome into the conversation with me today, Ryan Collins. Ryan, welcome.
Liz, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, it's a joy. It's a joy. And I know when we did our first show together, I mean, I just loved it. I loved the conversation. So, okay, I want to go deeper into the content of your book, because like I said, it's seriously important and it's very, very empowering content. So this is some of what you cover in the book that I just thought, oh my gosh, we need to more comprehensively understand this subject. But this is just some of what you cover. The global race for quantum computing, the evolving, these are my words describing your content, right? The evolving technology enabling quantum computers creation, including superposition and entanglement, two fascinating subjects that enable, this was profound for me, the teleportation of information faster than the speed of light, so therefore moving beyond space-time into quantum connection. I mean, that's a whole five-hour show at least, right? Just what I've just said. I mean, I just sat there, and the profound spiritual truths that this kind of science and technology open up for us, I believe. How technology is endeavoring to harness the power of creation's design was something else that I just got from the book. My summary. And then with relationship, this is something else that I really drew out from what you shared. With relationship with our Creator, understanding our identity as children of God, this emerging and future technology can lead to immense good, to the betterment of mankind. But in the wrong hands, where people begin to look to the technology to perfect the human life experience apart from God, it's extremely dangerous. And reading your content, Ryan, highlighted to me how important it is that as Christians, we understand what's coming down the pipe, and we need to wrap around this in prayer. We absolutely do, because it's essential that we re-engage very intentionally, particularly those in the tech space, into our relationship with Father as children of God to know how to steward this so that it can serve mankind, not destroy potentially mankind. Okay, so brief summary of some of the profound content in this book. So I just wanted to ask you, can you help us a little bit more understand what I've just said in summary? You know, particularly terms like superposition and entanglement, what that means, many of us won't know. You know, I've got a tiny understanding based on looking at your content and a little bit more of quantum physics, which I'm very interested in, and quantum biology. But yeah, can I ask you, will you speak into what I've just said and tell us kind of what is going on?
Yeah, well, it was a beautiful summary, and I just got to tell you, anytime that I get a chance to speak with you, Liz, I'm so inspired just having the conversation and the connection, and you are so spirit-led. And I think that has been what's been so fun about this journey is the Lord said, I'm going to take you on an exploration. Will you come with me? You know, the book of Proverbs says that it's the glory of the Lord to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings to search a matter out. And we know God is a good and loving father, so he never withholds from a place of trying to harm us. It's actually an invitation to know him more. And I really think that we're in an inflection point moment in humanity where we are coming to the end of one epoch in science and technology. We talked about this in our first conversation about James Clerk Maxwell really setting the foundation for the current epoch season that we're in. And we are ending in one epoch and we're moving forward into the next epoch. And I think that it will actually be, it will come into fruition when spirit-led believers will partner with the Lord to discover with him. And so Romans 1:20 says that you know, God's invisible attributes, his divine nature and eternal power can be clearly seen in his creation. And all creation is just an invitation to know our creator. So the reason why I say that is it's fascinating where we're going in science and technology. You know, right now, all the conversation is around artificial intelligence. It's really powerful. It's a tool that takes on the function of its user. And I think that's what all technology is. If I give you a hammer, you could build a house with it, or you could weaponize it and you could hit somebody over the head with it. The tool itself isn't bad. It takes on the function of its user. And so artificial intelligence can be used for good. It can be used to hurt people as well. But I think that as advanced as we're seeing artificial intelligence become over the, you know, and what we'll see over the next 10, 15 years, it pales in comparison to quantum mechanics and quantum computing. And for the very reasons, the two things that you just mentioned, superposition and entanglement. Now, these are what scientists call phenomena. And when we hear scientists talk about a phenomenon, it really is a way to rationalize a sign or a wonder from heaven. And so the Richard Feynman, who is probably the greatest quantum physicist post-World War II, he said, if you think you know and understand quantum mechanics, you don't understand quantum mechanics. And the reality is, Liz, is that quantum theory, quantum mechanics has been around for over a century, but it's moved at a snail's pace compared to what we're seeing with classical computing and everything, our digital revolution, everything that you and I take advantage of right now as we speak. And the reason why it's moved at a snail's pace is because it's non-intuitive to the human mind. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 16, that God reveals his wisdom to us in the spirit realm, and it's incomprehensible to man apart from God. And so, what quantum computing and quantum mechanics is all predicated on is being able to connect subatomic particles. And so, you have the leading tech companies in the world, the Googles, the IBMs, the Metas, they are employing the leading quantum physicists and particle physicists, $100 million contracts to dissect the atom into its smallest parts and to try to achieve quantum computing supremacy. Now, why do I say that? Because the way that quantum computing works is that you can take, let's say, a subatomic particle, a photon or an electron, and through a phenomenon called superposition, you can manipulate it to be in multiple states at once. It can be both wave and particle at the same time. Now, why that is so important is that because of those multiple states, you can actually compute data onto that subatomic particle when given the right environment, which is typically, well, which is a super cooled temperature. You can compute data onto that on that subatomic particle at a much greater capacity, exponentially greater than what we see with our binary digits in classical computing. And so the fact that a subatomic particle can be both wave and particle at the same time, and it's not a matter of being zero or one, which is what we, our whole algebraic logic on binary digits that power our fastest supercomputers today. It's a matter of being zero or one or everything in between. And so if that's not crazy enough for scientists, the fact that you can take another subatomic particle, let's say it's 1,000 miles away, and you can manipulate that into a superposition state as well. And then through another phenomenon called entanglement, you can connect this subatomic particle that's over here and this subatomic particle, which is 1,000 miles away. So they are directly connected and correlated. Now, what that means, Liz, is that if we can compute data onto this subatomic particle, it is instantaneously computed on this because they are connected through this phenomenon called entanglement. So it's not a matter of transferring information from one place to the next through empty space, like we talked about with Maxwell in the previous episode, through electromagnetic waves. It's a matter of being connected. As this one is, so is this one. So we can compute data at a much faster rate than even our fastest supercomputers can today. So scientists would say that what would take our fastest supercomputers, you know, 100 years to compute data today would take a quantum computer seconds, if not, or minutes, if not seconds, to compute that data. So that's what's so wild about this, but it's, the thing is they can't understand how these subatomic particles exist and behave. They can't understand the duality of its nature. And so I've talked to these researchers at these leading tech companies, and what they've said is that because we can't understand physically how these subatomic particles exist and behave, our only rational explanation is that there has to be a guiding force in another universe that is causing these particles to operate and exist. Now, this goes back to Maxwell in a previous episode, who said, you know, that everything that we sense in the physical world is only one part of the equation. There has to be an invisible reality, an underlying reality, and a directing force in that invisible reality that's causing everything to operate and exist. It's as if Luke 19:40, that the stones are crying out that Jesus is king. And I'll say this and I'll stop, because I know that was
phenomenal, mind blown.
But Liz, I'll say this. We know in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, it says that Jesus was before all things, and in him all things exist and are held together. His voice, and we notice this even by the behavior of the subatomic particle, are causing everything to be held together. I think that scientists and technologists who come from a posture of curiosity and deep exploration with no hidden agenda, they are saying, I just want to know the truth, that the person who is truth will reveal himself to them through this discovery. And I think that that will be the unlocking of the next epoch season. There'll be fascinating solutions that come out of this, but I think the ultimate thing that will come out of it is a massive revival when creation, when humanity has the veil lifted off of their eyes and they see Emmanuel, Christ with us, and that they are connected with him through all eternity and will receive him as their Lord and Savior.
Oh my gosh, I absolutely agree. Reading your book, I mean, I was blown away by the quotes from the scientists, you know, that, like you've just said, they are realizing that there is a force, like their language, in another universe that's upholding all of creation. And the more they're splitting the atom and moving down into the quantum levels of life, they're realizing there is some other force operating that's holding everything together, like you said. And to me, that was just so exciting. It's, to me, it's very clear that ultimately science will prove the reality of God. They are going to discover the reality of God. There's no way they can't, because, like you said, the truth is that he does uphold all things by the word of his power. And to be able to discover that scientifically, I do think it's a huge divine setup. You know, man may be trying to perfect himself, and there may be all these good, and you know, it's curiosity, like you said, isn't it? Desperation and curiosity and the desire to raise the quality of life of mankind. And for many, out of relationship with God, they're desensitized, they don't understand who they are, and so they're trying to move forward in the only way that they know how to find the solutions to humanity's issues of the day. And I get it, but for me, I was reading your books, getting more and more excited, thinking there's no way they are not going to ultimately sit there and go, oh my gosh, it's real, he's real. Okay, so there's another profound subject. I'm going to read another quote. This was like, I'm just mind blown again. I mean, everything you've just shared, I was just sitting in it thinking, gosh, this is it's stretching and it's brilliant and it's very, very exciting. Okay, another profound subject. You say, in quantum speak, the belief in the lies of the deceiver is the noise that leads to the decoherence of creation's entanglement with its creator.
Yeah.
Can we go there? Will you just unpack what that means? Because I just thought that's profound. That brings it into such, it's science providing for is a spiritual truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the reason why scientists are have to operate these subatomic particles, what they're called qubits, in sub-zero temperatures is because they're so sensitive. And any noise, any distraction will actually break the connection between the two subatomic particles, the qubits. And the only way that we can achieve quantum computing supremacy or actualization of actually using a quantum computer is if you have thousands of qubits that are interconnected. But if there's the slightest variance, the slightest distraction, the slightest noise, it will break that connection. And I think that that is a great illustration of what it looks like when we decide to, as humanity, first of all, elevate the gift over our giver, elevate creation over the creator, because what happens in that paradigm is that we then remove the creator or the giver out of the equation entirely. And it doesn't take but a few generations for us to not remember our origin story. So then our default of truth ends up becoming a lie. And even going back to when I was talking about the scientists saying that there has to be a guiding force in another universe causing these subatomic particles to behave the way that they do. The explanation for that is multiverse theory, that when we had the, you know, through evolution, when the Big Bang happened, that over the course of billions of years, that there were multiple universes that were formed out of that one moment. And then over the course of time, they are somehow interacting. And so it removes God out of the equation in that moment. And so that's the noise. I believe that is the thing that the devil, the enemy, wants to convince us more than anything, is to for us to believe the lie of our origin story, that we weren't created on purpose and for a purpose, that God didn't have a plan and purpose for us before he knit us in our mother's wombs, but that we are some random fortuitous concourse of atoms that happened from an accident billions of years ago. If our origin story is that we were birthed out of an accident, then we are in a perpetual state of trying to fix ourselves at the behest of our fellow man. So that's where we have the zero-sum game survival of the fittest. And I have to get mine even at the detriment of you. And based on the theory of evolution is that some species win out and some species don't. And when you start applying that to kind of social constructs, then you start seeing this from a race perspective. You start seeing this from a ethnicity perspective and a nationalist perspective. And it gets really, really scary and morbid. So That's the noise. We have to get back to the entanglement, the connection of creation with creator. And the moment that we do that, I firmly believe, Liz, that we will see a massive move of God. And I saw this, I'll paraphrase this, but it was a philosopher. I can't remember, the name escapes me. I don't think it was Augustine, but I saw this quote. It's 100 years old, but it was, what a sad occurrence when the scientist gets to the top of the mountain that he's climbing to only to find that the priest is already there. And so that actually is a depiction of this perceived chasm or this line in the sand between science and faith or science and religion, but they're not mutually exclusive. God has a plan and purpose for science, and science in its purest form is studying creation to know our creator more. I think there's a lot more that the Lord is wanting to reveal to us, but can only come through that dynamic, intimate relationship of studying the works of his hands and getting that revelation that is incomprehensible to man apart from God.
It's profound. I mean, one of the things that I was considering when I was reading your content was the reality, using that language, we are entangled, our oneness with Holy Spirit is entanglement. If he upholds all things by the power of his word, he is the force undergirding all of life, everything that the scientists are discovering, the big tech companies are discovering and trying to get language for, and so forth. How powerful is our relationship with Jesus? We are at, ooh, Holy Spirit. Ooh, Holy Spirit. Wow. I really, really feel his heart right now, Ryan, that this revelation would drop for us. We would realize the privilege and the power and the responsibility and the authority that we carry. What is happening to us when we are tuned into the Creator's heart and we begin to speak intentionally, understanding subjects like entanglement, understanding the power of who is inside of us as the Creator to be and to partner in that restoration and fulfillment of all things, and the repair work that needs to go on and the solutions that can be brought, like you say in your book, from our union, our entanglement with the one who is the solution for everything. I mean, I feel in your content the invitation to revisit this conversation with Jesus in our own lives and say, what does that partnership look like for me? Because we've really got to shift into a governmental mindset, haven't we? Understanding this is so helpful to be able to position us that way. So, yeah.
I love this, Liz. I think that it's important for believers to lean into this. Not everybody is going to be a scientist or a technologist, but this isn't just for the scientist and technologist. It is for the people that are inspiring, that are getting spiritual downloads, heavenly downloads from the Lord to solve the world's hardest problems. And I, you know, for, yeah, I think that God is enacting his sovereignty. Now, this is Ryan talking, but I really feel this, and this is what I took away from this really 4 year plus journey of exploration with the Lord on this subject matter, is that God is enacting his sovereignty right now. We will not see quantum fully actualized until spirit-led believers are willing to partner with him to reveal the true magnitude and the truth behind this miracle, this wonder from heaven, this phenomenon. And so that would be my encouragement to all believers, is to not set this aside. You have a part to play. And it first starts with your intimate relationship with Christ. And what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? It may be that you're creating a community of believers that have, it's this equipping the saints for ministry to go into these unknown places. And then the other thing I'll say, and this is a little bit of a warning, anytime we have something new like this that comes from God, and I think that all things come from God, like discovery is just a manifestation of a relationship with him. But if we elevate the gift over the giver, then we will fall into the same hamster wheel trap that we've fallen into for thousands of years where we start making ourselves our God instead of it being an invitation to know our good and loving Father more. And why I say that about quantum is that, I see a lot of like people wanting to spiritualize quantum, but as an energy. And there's this interesting, there was a polymath back in the early 1900s. He was best friends with Nikola Tesla. His name was Walter Russell. And actually, Tesla said of some of the stuff that Walter Russell was presenting to him, he said, "You need to lock this away in a box for 1,000 years because humanity is not ready for this." So I started studying, and he's got these interesting books. One is called The Universal One, and it opens with John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, verses 1 through 5, which is my favorite passage in the Bible. And then you think, okay, he's got it. But then as you kind of read on, oh no, it's he's actually elevating, he's deifying the gift over the giver. And so we can't do that with quantum because this stuff will blow your mind. But then if we miss the opportunity and the invitation, then we'll continue to fall into the same trap that humanity has been falling into for thousands of years. And I really believe that it's believers that will step up to reveal Emmanuel, Christ with us. Through this incredible science that God has given to us.
Yeah, the discovery of creation, the unfolding revelation to us of the brilliance of who our God is, and being able to be invited into the partnership with Him in the restoration and the advancement of that. It's just
Yeah.
profound. It's really interesting out of the box encounter, but I had a profound experience. I was just in worship one day. And Jesus came to me and he took me into an experience in heaven. And he brought Eve to me. And she handed me a monocle and it had like two layers to it. And the first one had a lock of her hair in it, representing, I knew immediately, understanding came into my spirit of DNA. And then the other one, I could see down into creation, to quantum level, just going down further and further and further. And immediately, Jesus. Like he just enabled me to hear her. And I heard her speaking to me, spirit to spirit, said, "You are the generation that will understand creation." And from that moment, I became increasingly interested in this subject because I believe it's what's unfolding now. It is the invitation. It's the passion of his heart. He's saying, "Come on, I'm the creator, I'm your father. I want you to understand creation. This invitation is open right now. Don't be afraid of these technologies. Learn, understand." From people like you, Ryan, who have looked at this as a believer in your relationship with Jesus, and you can pan the gold, and help us to wade through misinformation and to know what is true and what is coming. Okay, final question. I just wanted to ask you, so our relationship right now, to participate in this, to position ourselves, to begin to pray, wrap prayer around what's coming down the pipe for us, with regards to technology and science, what can we do to position ourselves well? How can we pray? What have you seen is in the Lord's heart for where we're going? How can we agree with that?
Yeah. Well, I saw a stat just the other day, and this was a survey in the US, but I would imagine this would be true across the world, if not more, that 80% of Americans believe that there is a spiritual or supernatural dimension to our lives. And post pandemic, there are more and more people, significantly more people, who are open to the idea of God and are wanting to know God. There is this open door invitation to bring the solution that the world is crying out for. So, for some of you, some of the people that are listening to this conversation, they will go specifically in science and technology. I imagine, Liz, I just know that there are high-level scientists and technologists who are part of your audience, and this will unlock something for them. I believe that our conversation is putting articulation to something that's been stirring in their hearts for a really long time, actually. And this is the impetus, the catalyst for them to move forward. There are others, whether they're, I mean, whatever they're doing in their life, this is a we have to embrace and welcome in this conversation into the body of Christ. We have to erase the line of demarcation that has been created falsely between science and God, because science actually points to God in its authenticity. And so we as believers, as the body of Christ, we need to engage this conversation. We need to equip the saints for ministry, and we need to dream with God. Some of the greatest downloads from heaven have happened to people who had no background in science and technology, but they got a dream from the Lord. They got an algorithm from the Lord in a vision, in a dream that has completely changed the course of humanity. And so those are the things. Don't confine your mind, don't limit your mind to what you think that you can understand from a human perspective. Allow yourself to dream with God, just like you did, Liz. I think that the dream, the vision the Lord gave you is significant. And again, the Lord is inviting us to fully actualize this opportunity as an invitation so that all would taste and see his goodness. We know it's God's goodness that leads man to repentance. It's not out of compliance or obligation, but an overwhelming sense of joy of discovering our identity as his son or his daughter. And that is significant. And I think I am blown away, and I am excited about the download that the Lord gave you. There is a journey and an exploration that he is taking you on, and it is significant for the future of humanity.
Oof, oof, my gosh, I just got completely blasted with Holy Spirit. Do you know, I never asked him why he showed me that. Never asked him. I was just so blown away by what happened. Oh my gosh. Okay, Ryan, I could talk to you for 3 days, like straight, no sleep.
Likewise, I love talking to you so much, Liz. It really, you're phenomenal, and you bring the best out of people. I
Oh.
you're doing that too.
Oh, thank you so much. And honestly, just thank you for your journey. Thank you for your dedication, for the treasures that you are providing us with, and the perspective that you're providing us with, and the invitation. So, thank you for joining us. It's always amazing.
Thank you.
And guys, thank you for joining us for today's conversation. I pray, I know you will have been super empowered. And I just pray that through the course of this week, you will start to really understand your authority, the blessing and the privilege of your own relationship with Jesus, and that you'll receive downloads as well for solutions to the issues that are facing your life and perhaps even humanity at large. How big is our God? Amen. Have the most amazing week, and I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
Experiencing God's love every day is the name of my new devotional, and it's exactly what will happen to you. It is life transforming when we experience God's love for us, how loved we are. This devotional will help take you there. So, if that is something that you need to begin your day with, to transform your days from the outset, or whether it's something that you need throughout the course of every day, jump on to lizwright.org and sign up today and start your amazing, deeper still journey with Jesus.